Severe weather can strike at any time.
At any time.
Again, we are dealing with a tornado warning right now. This is going to be in Santa Rosa County.
At any time.
And Steve, you're looking at the radar. What are you seeing right now?
What you need to know.
Well, on the News Radio ThreatNet radar, the showers are covering the entire north part of Escambia County, moving into the downtown area.
Severe weather can strike at any time.
What you need to know.
News Radio 92.3.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Government at its core, at its first principle, is to protect people's safety and their rights. And when the governor asked me to serve in the United States Senate, he knew that I would go up there with that same intensity, the same focus, and fight on behalf of Florida. He knew I would go to D.C. and fight for your families the way I fight for my own.
We, the hardworking, everyday people of Florida, sent a shockwave to the Washington, D.C. They better get ready. Yeah! Because they ain't seen nothing yet.
So, big surprise made international news. National news, everybody's talking about it, that in Florida, on the Democrat side, on the Republican side, no surprise. I mean, Ashley Moody, you know, she had challengers. It was silly. You know, what did she get? Just looking down here real quick. You know, she got a massive vote response. Of course, not a surprise. She got 80% of the vote. Chris Gleason got 14%. Others got, I mean, you know, of course, she's a sitting senator, Marco Rubio's former seat, and she used to be the attorney general, very widely liked. The question is, up against whom? Well, Alex Vindman, who had been the key player in the whole question of the phone call with the Ukrainians, where Trump tried to get them to investigate Biden after Biden bragged about how he got them to do what he wanted. I mean, it was a wild story, and that, of course, led to the first impeachment. You know, and Alex Vindman was the key player in that. He was the whistleblower. And then he ran as a Democrat, a pretty moderate Democrat by everybody's assessment, against Angela Nixon, who had no chance whatsoever because she's a socialist. I mean, she is a, I mean, progressive is not strong enough. She is a Democratic socialist. And, you know, race baiting and anti-gun and defund the police and all of that stuff. Like, that's all, you know, her. And I listened to her sometimes when she was in the House, and she's a nut. I mean, she's just, what? And she won by a lot. 56% to 44. Anything more than 10 points is a blowout in politics, you know, and that's a, what, 12 points? That's huge, or 14. That's a big win. Outspent 16 to 1. He had $16 million. She had under a million, and she won. So when we say be afraid and vote because the socialists are for real, the socialists are for real. They run candidates, and they try to get their issues, and, you know, don't think it can't happen here, because in the state of Florida, you have a very, very normal conservative Republican, you know, who is running for re-election to finish out the term, essentially, by, you know, with Ashley Moody. And then you have a genuine wing nut leftist running against her who beat the fairly moderate, normal mainstream Democrat who I just assumed was going to win and was running a very good campaign. You might assume Ashley Moody is going to win. I would not make any such assumption. Who knows? Then in the governor's race, you had the most predictable of all possible results. You had Byron Donalds wins handily. I mean, overwhelming. This is the least surprising governor's race results yesterday. Everything that had been said in the polling turned out to be true. He won overwhelmingly. And then, you know, in the on the Democrat side, of course, same thing. David Jolly, former Republican, you know, turned Democrat. He won handily. I mean, Byron Donalds did not get an outright majority. He got 48%, but 48 to 25 for the sitting lieutenant governor with a non-endorsement from the governor. And then James Fishback is out, and then Paul Renner got fourth place at 9%, former speaker. None of that was surprising. That's basically what the polling had said. Jay Collins actually did a little better than I expected. But he's going to be up, you know, Byron Donalds is up against David Jolly and Gwen Graham who ran away with it at 61%. Everybody else didn't even, it wasn't even close. And so that race has already started. That campaign, that is going to be a very, very ugly campaign, if you ask me. In fact, it already became that last night. Byron Donalds talking.
David Jolly represents everything that folks hate about Washington, D.C. Liberal David Jolly is the change that Florida cannot afford.
As Byron Donalds already talking about his opponent, David Jolly. David Jolly responding.
The difference between me and Byron Donalds is that Byron Donalds will sell his governorship for a buck. David Jolly and Gwynne Graham are going to fight for every voter across the state of Florida tonight.
I swear when I first heard that clip, I thought it was going to go like this.
Is that Byron Donalds will sell his governorship for a buck.
Meanwhile, I'll only charge 10. Like, I don't know, or a dime. I mean, I don't know. It was just, it was a weird way for him to pivot away from that. Kind of an odd phrasing. But yeah, so David Jolly, white, it's going to become relevant. Former Republican, now turned Democrat, running with Gwynne Graham against Byron Donalds, who would be the first black governor in the state of Florida. That's going to be an interesting race. I mean, I think all the kind of odds makers say that Byron Donalds has got it, but you know, a race has to happen, and you never know what happens between now and the fall when it comes, you know, now in November when it comes to President Trump and the Republicans and the Senate and the House and who turns out the vote. And I mean, frankly, the Angie Nixon factor, maybe. Who knows? Who knows? We'll see. You have to actually run the race. 716 on News Radio 92.3. PJ has traffic on the fives.
There is a brand new vehicle crash, I-10 eastbound, right as you approach US 29. Roadway's open there. Also have a vehicle crash, University Parkway at Johnson Avenue, and a vehicle crash with injuries, Davis Highway at Berg Street. I'm PJ with the traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Back to the election returns last night. In the local elections, 0% surprise in Escambia County. The only surprise to me in Escambia County was that the elected superintendent won by so much. I figured it would win. I figured it'd be closer. I figured it'd be more like 55-45 since the appointed won last time. But that was the reason behind the gamesmanship of the school board, all three of whom voted for that to be on the ballot in the primary. All three of them got reelected handily. No real challenges to them, which I think is sad. You always, I'd rather have good, solid challenges. I didn't think it was likely that any of their challengers would win, and they did not. They defeated all of them handily. David Williams and Isaac Williams were a little bit closer than I expected, frankly, but, you know, okay. Probably voter confusion over which Williams to vote for, you know, honestly. But the in a Escambia, no surprise. The only real surprise that you can count is D.C. winning 53% of the vote and getting reelected with a majority in the primary against six candidates. No real challenge to him. I don't think anybody handicapped this as the only question was whether he'd win it outright or have to go to November. That was the only question. And I think everybody kind of expected that. There was a lot of people maybe hoping that something would happen, but, you know, again, no real surprise in Escambia County. His comment on Channel 3 last night, I thought was, you know, fairly accurate in terms of what people were voting for.
This is a we victory because we were able to get this many transformational projects up and going that maybe in some administrations, one or two of those would be considered a major accomplishment. We've got five or six in the pipeline. So these next 4 years are, we've set the pins up at an unprecedented level. It's time to knock them down. And that means we're going to execute. We're going to follow through with all of these transformational economic opportunities. We're going to attack housing. We're going to attack affordability. And we're going to do it for every single one, whether you voted for me or you didn't. We're going to attack this, every single one of the 55,000 people who live here.
Yeah, I mean, Burdon Baptist, Bay Bluffs is a little bit of a, you know, albatross for him right now, but I think that'll come around. Reverb, Palafox, you know, there's, I think, a lot of those projects that he's talking about. And the airport, you know, he's right. You know, any one of those would be a big deal for most mayors, and getting them all up and going and, you know, bringing them to completion the next couple of years is going to be a big deal. John Fay wins overwhelmingly against Trey McMullen in the District 2 race for the House seat that was Alex Andrade has termed out of.
It's been a long road, a lot of hard work, and we got a lot of hard work ahead still. This is just, you know, again, lap one of a two-lap race. And then, you know, if elected, then ultimately the hard work really begins. And can only just be so lucky to do that. And again, to serve our great community.
Yeah, and I mean, he's as a Democrat in that race, but I mean, it's District 2. This is Santa Rosa County and Escambia County. I mean, this is, I think this is a kind of a foregone conclusion. You know, you might say Pensacola leans purple. Yeah, but not enough. Not enough to make that one different. And, you know, as a former Blue Angel, you know, XO, that's not a surprise. Mike Kohler wins re-election. Sorry, doesn't win re-election. He has to face Matthias Robinson, but that'll be, you know, District 2 is not going to elect a Democrat. That's a sort of a no-brainer. In Santa Rosa County is where you had some of the surprises. And not big surprises, but a little bit surprising. Dean Light, as a newcomer, wins against Ray Eddington in District 4. That's where, and if you're in Escambia, you don't know this, but everybody in Santa Rosa votes for everybody. So they might be from Navarre, but it's the whole county vote. So when you go to the ballot, you vote for everything. The only thing you don't get to vote for is if you don't live in the city of Gulf Breeze or the city of Jay or the city of Milton, you don't get to vote in those races, which those were all not on the primary anyway, but everybody votes for everybody, and this is a open primary, so you had two Republicans, and that's all the people who qualified, so it was Dean Light or Ray Eddington, and Dean Light wins. Close, very close.
I feel great. I knew I had a good chance. I knew it would be close, and Mr. Eddington and I think, ran probably one of the nicest races that they've seen in this county for a long time. This is my first time running for any office. I never thought I'd be any kind of politician.
Kind of an interesting reversion, because you had Dave Peach was the commissioner there, and Ray Eddington beat him, which if you ever ask me why it is that I don't predict election results on the air, that's the election that taught me not to predict election results on the air, because I thought there was no way anybody would elect Ray Eddington over Dave Peach. Dave Peach, one of the most capable, smartest, talented, former, you know, used to build Air Force bases for the Air Force, like long time, I think retired colonel, if I remember correctly. You know, very capable guy, and Ray Eddington beat him. I thought, what the, I don't understand this at all. And, you know, and Ray, look, Ray's a nice guy, former cop, you know, and I hasn't been particularly good as a commissioner. So for Dean Light to win is not that surprising. Also in, you know, but it was a close race, actually closer than I expected. And then in District 2, the six person race for the Republican slot, which is a closed primary. And so they still have to win in November, but, Kerry Smith, the incumbent, got ousted and badly. I was surprised by this. I thought he would win probably with 30% of the vote of plurality. I did not think he would get beat. I did not think he would get beat as bad as he did. The heavy negative campaigning against him and the social media stuff, I think, got to him in the end. Jeff Ates wins this? What? Okay. You know, but okay. He does. 26%. Jeff Snow got 20%, former City of Milton council member. Renee Johnmeyer got third place at 17. Aaron Neiswanger, a brand newcomer to this, got 16%. Kerry Smith got only 15, and R.C. Pittman got 7. That's not surprising, I don't think. But, you know, that's a – I did none of that. I had none of that right. Which is why I don't make predictions on the air, because you learn your lesson. Don't make predictions on the air. So anyway, those were a little bit surprising, but those are the outcomes in Santa Rosa County. School board, also a little surprising. Not the wins, but the numbers. Linda Sanborn handily winning. That's not surprising over David Farrow. Carol Boston barely winning by 300 votes over Kyle Connolly. I was kind of surprised by that. And then Scott Peden, the incumbent for District 5 school board in Santa Rosa, gets 17%. So he's out. It's going to be a runoff between Marie Laughlin and Jill Brock's intestine. I don't know who's going to win that. They were pretty close, 5% splitting them. So that'll be an interesting race in November. So, yeah, that was your election results yesterday. In Santa Rosa, you had 23% of the vote turned out, registered voters. And in Escambia, it was 27%. And Jimmy Petronas also wins handily. That's, you know, no surprise whatsoever. Him against Gay Valmont, you know, I like Gay, but that's a hopeless race, you know, in this district. The Democrat's not going to get elected in that race. 7:23 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable, and then all the statewide races. Otherwise, there were, again, no big surprises, particularly. Again, Andrew Nixon was the big news, and I'm baffled by that one, because this is the same Angie Nixon who, you know, I went back in my archive to grab a couple of my favorite Angela Nixon clips. And, you know, here's one when they were talking about the state road that got renamed for President Trump. This was her contribution to that commentary when they were renaming. Oh, is it 96? Yeah, I forget, down there by Lake Okeechobee. Anyway, renaming that road, she said,
"Florida is Floridering again. I am really concerned that we are going to be the laughingstock in this country. Can you imagine the nickname for this road? 124 miles of rapist way. Like, really? That's what we're about to do. 124 miles of rapist way. People are about to travel in your county, Rep. Skidmore, down rapist way. That is a slap in the face. Vote down, y'all.
You can't really drop your mic in the house, but that's as close as you can get. But she's a trip, man. I mean, a real lefty loony. Like, she's wild. I cannot believe she's the candidate.
And then, you know,
talking about campus guardians.
I have, like, a security team, and they try to, like, have me practice pulling a gun out and that type of stuff, and I ain't good at it. And so I can imagine a gun being turned on the professors. I don't think it's a good look. So thank you for this amendment.
It's not a good look. All right. Guns being turned. 725 on News Radio 92.3. PJ has traffic on the fives.
I-10 and 110 are both looking good right now. Still dealing with that vehicle crash, I-10 eastbound, right at mile marker 9 as you approach Highway 29. Use caution. I'm PJ through traffic on the 5s.
Thanks so much, PJ. If you need to get any work done on a home improvement project, a renovation, you need supplies, guidance. You know, a lot of times you go to do a thing and you're like, I don't know if this is the right way to do it. Go to Pensacola Hardware and ask. They'll help. They know. They actually know hardware. They actually know home improvement and home construction. You know, if you're a builder, man, they're your place. Commercial Construction Supply is their business. The warehouse is here. They do special orders for folks all the time if you need a specified product from the architect or engineer. But if they, you know, if you need something as just a homeowner or a regular, you know, average person, they have it. And they can tell you how to use it, and they can make sure you use it the right way. They have been doing this for 175 years. Like, before there was Levi's, there was Pensacola Hardware. That's their business. They love it. It's in their blood. And they are the oldest business in the entire state of Florida. Stop by and find out why. Pensacola Hardware has been helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola since 1851, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
It's so disappointing to hear people use the name of God flippantly. Ladies and gentlemen, God is not your homeboy, and he's not the man upstairs. His name should not be used to express your stress level. Isaiah 6 says that God is holy, holy, holy. The word holy means set apart or sacred. He's holy God the Father, and holy God the Son, and holy God the Spirit. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. May I humbly suggest to you that you think twice before you devalue the name of the One which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell, but instead I urge you to reverence His precious and wonderful name.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Hurricane season is here, and Gulf Breeze Natural Gas helps provide the most reliable energy source. There are advantages to having natural gas in your home or business. Major storms typically do not cause widespread outages because gas lines are buried and protected. Most appliances, including cooking and hot water, still work during electrical outages. A gas generator gets everything back up and running within 30 seconds. That's the length of this commercial. Learn more about how to be best prepared at GulfBreezeNaturalGas.com.
There are a lot of questions about roof replacement in the news lately, such as insurance companies demanding replacement before they cancel coverage to companies not doing the job that they sold to you. Make sure you tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 9:30 as Quality Roofing Solutions will answer your questions. Find out what makes Quality Roofing Solutions the premier contractor in Florida tomorrow at 9:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Keeping you connected to Pensacola
and the world.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Hey, Harry.
Yeah, Ron.
You know, we're sitting on 4 million pounds of fuel, one nuclear weapon, and a thing that has 270,000 moving parts built by the lowest bidder. Oh, makes you feel good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
This was one of my original 45s back when the you could buy those. You might even be able to buy them again because vinyls made a comeback. But ABC When Smokey Sings, love that song. 729 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, the tariffs that were set to hit Canada overnight have been put on hold in a social media post. President Trump said he paused the 50% duties for 3 days because the U.S. and Canada have a deal pending final documentation.
You said duty.
Yes. Yes, I did. Feel like I need the Beavis and Butthead laughs. A former advisor to Dr. Anthony Fauci's now pleaded guilty to concealing government documents related to COVID-19 grants. David Morins was a senior official under Fauci during the pandemic. He was indicted in April over an alleged scheme to block public records requests related to COVID-19 research grants. He could face up to 5 years in prison.
All right, very good. And hey, a big thank you to everybody who ran and did not win. I think it takes a lot of guts to run, and we don't have a democracy if people don't challenge.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Backed by President Trump, Florida Congressman Byron Donalds captures the Republican primary for governor.
Let's go beat David Jolly in November.
The Republican, during his victory speech in Orlando, can become the state's first black governor if he wins this fall. The far left rejoicing in the Sunshine State.
Another Democratic socialist made headway. Angie Nixon in a come-from-behind win for the Democratic Senate nomination in Florida.
Fox's Doug Lusader, she defeats Alex Vindman, now faces Ashley Moody in the Middle East.
Iran has continued to launch new attacks, firing two missiles at the UAE on Tuesday. Iran denied they were responsible for that missile attack.
That's Fox's Trey Yanks in Tel Aviv. And President Trump isn't talking to the Islamic Republic. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It is 7:31 at News Radio 92.3, 78 degrees. We've got partly cloudy skies this morning. Channel 3 has our forecast up in just about 3 minutes. Escambia County voters have approved switching the school superintendent from an appointed position back to an elected one. That referendum last night passing with 71% support. Voters will not cast ballots for the next superintendent until November of 2028. Last night in Pensacola's mayoral race, D.C. Reeves winning with just over 53%, avoiding a runoff election. In District 2, Commissioner Mike Kohler defeated Glenn Dorsey. All three Escambia School Board incumbents, Kevin Adams, Paul Fetzko, David Williams, keeping their seats last night. Looking at Santa Rosa County's primary results, voters approving a referendum to increase fire assessment fees for the Holly Navarre Fire District. That got just under 57% support. Both incumbent county commissioners losing their primaries last night. Jeff Ates defeating Kerry Smith in District 2. And Dean Light narrowly defeating Ray Eddington in District 4. Congressman Jimmy Patronis getting a win in the District 1 race. He'll face Gay Valamont in November. In the Republican primary for governor, Byron Donalds leading in both Escambia and Santa Rosa counties, getting 46% of the vote in Escambia and just under 40% in Santa Rosa County. Florida's Department of Transportation has landed a $356 million federal grant to overhaul rail crossing safety across the state. Combined with a $100 million state investment, the $460 million effort will upgrade more than 900 rail crossings across Florida with new gates, lighting, and signage, as well as pedestrian warning systems. FDOT Secretary Jared Perdue calls it a transformational opportunity for rail safety. Governor Ron DeSantis has suspended Palm Beach County Clerk Mike Caruso, a former state legislator, after his arrest Tuesday on child sex abuse charges. Caruso faces several counts, including kidnapping and lewd molestation. Investigators say he abused his grandson, who's under 12, on multiple occasions last year. Attorney General James Uthmeyer said FDLE and local police assisted in the arrest. Caruso had been appointed by DeSantis last August. He has denied the allegations. Well, a big change in the agency that handles hurricane response. Florida Division of Emergency Management Executive Director Kevin Guthrie resigned yesterday. Governor DeSantis named FDOT Secretary Jared Perdue as Guthrie's replacement. Perdue will also continue his role with FDOT. Guthrie's resignation comes just a day after he agreed to be Lieutenant Governor Jay Collins' running mate in the primary election. Collins wound up losing last night to Congressman Byron Donalds. Well, voter turnout in the primary yesterday came in just a bit lower than the previous midterm back in 2022, dropping by about 1.9% in Escambia County, 2.4% in Santa Rosa. A homeless woman is wanted for attempted homicide after allegedly shooting a cantonment homeowner through the door of a shed he'd been letting her stay in. Deputies say that happened last Sunday at Woodbury Place. The woman fired through the closed door before fleeing the scene. Deputies searched the area using drones and a canine, but she was not located. The victim refused medical treatment. The woman's identity has not yet been released. It's 7:35 at News Radio. Let's check in with PJ, who's got our traffic on the fives.
Thanks, David. There is a vehicle crash, Davis Highway at East Olive Road in Pensacola. They're saying the roadway is clear. Also have a vehicle crash with injuries, Davis Highway at Berg Street. Use caution past that area. Finally, have a vehicle crash, I-10 eastbound as you approach Highway 29. Use caution. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
We do have a 50% chance of those showers and thunderstorms today, with temperatures warming up near 95 degrees. A heat advisory in place as temperatures will feel into the triple digits. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 80 degrees. Another hot day on your Thursday, high near 96 degrees, with a 50% chance of those showers and thunderstorms. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 80 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, 78 degrees with partly cloudy skies. Your next news in 30 minutes. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. An experimental personalized cancer vaccine from Merck and Moderna showed positive initial results in its first ever late-stage trial. Both companies said the combination regimen significantly extended the time patients lived without their melanoma returning, compared with Keytruda alone, and reduce the risk of the cancer spreading to distant parts of the body. The robotics division of China's largest auto exporter, Chery Automobile, is gearing up for an IPO to fund future growth investments. Reuters reports that AI Moga Robotics is in talks over potential listing venues and expects to sharply increase humanoid robot deliveries next year. Oil prices have risen this morning as conflicting reports surface over whether the Strait of Hormuz is open. West Texas Intermediate up to $85 a barrel, Brent at $91. Futures are still mixed as oil prices increase. Yesterday, the Dow lost 116, the NASDAQ down 355. That's Your Money Now.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Okay, let's talk about renovation and how it's not like your ordinary happy ending home makeover show. Example, there are the guys who prey on homeowners and never show up to do the work. So that's why the state of Florida licenses contractors. You can check if your contractor is licensed at the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation website at myfloridalicense.com.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
Hey, this is Sean with HQ Barbecue and Hot Pond in Pensacola.
Hey, this is Chad Brillante, Communications Director at Career Source Escarosa.
Hi, I'm Darren Costello, owner of Costello's Butcher Shop and Deli, Fine Wine and Cheeses.
What do these businesses have in common? They've trusted our years of marketing experience at ADX Communications.
When our commercials air, we notice an increase in foot traffic, successfully reaching our desired demographic.
And when it comes to reaching job seekers and employers in our community, we look to ADX Communications for digital and radio advertising. Keep up the great work.
I enjoy working with such a great team with the radio station. Dependable, professional, local, and results-driven. ADX Communications.
To have your business become part of our success story, no matter if it's Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, Sports Radio Pensacola 99.1, Pensacola's Playlist 94.5, or the area's most robust digital platform, call us today. 850-262-6000. That's 850-262-6000. And let ADX go to work for you.
Barkley, Van Camp, and Robbins. They take the biggest stories of the day, cut through the nonsense, and say the quiet part out loud.
You're the co-chair of this political party.
That excites the minions when they hear that. Oh, tax the millionaires.
Well, it sounds good, and then I get free stuff. Yay!
Yeah, but nothing is free, man.
That's when being somebody's an adult really is a challenge, huh?
MVR, weekdays 11 till 2 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News, and at the request of the 53% vote-getter in the primary, demolishing a field of five other contestants, Mayor ACDC Reeves is back with us. Congratulations, Mr. Mayor, on your big victory yesterday.
Thank you so much. I, growing up playing sports, I answered to AC or DC or whatever combination of initials that my coach thought of. So, it always resonates with me.
And by the way, you know, I think I was the one who picked the DC Talk music originally because I thought that was kind of perfect for you. And you said, all right, it's a new term. It's not yet a new term, but it's coming. So let's switch it up. I'm going for AC/DC, which I kind of like. Does this mean that you're here to do all kinds of nefarious black ops kinds of things now that you've been reelected so handily?
I'm sure I'll read about that on Facebook. And but for now, no. It's merely the homage to, again, every initial that I hear. And we're celebrating this morning in Carline at school drop-off right now.
Oh,
I
had that's
to,
great.
I had to write a couple notes of why Caroline won't have her homework done last night. So,
she was too busy getting hugged by her dad on Channel 3 last night.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. She did a great job, and yesterday was social studies, just all day, waving signs at Baby Park and entertaining the crowds at the party. So anyway, great night last night.
Can I just say, first, I'm going to say this because I actually had talked to you about this already, but we have been using the Bayview Park Senior Center, I hate to say, but, because my wife is 50 and I'm 55. And there's all kinds of great activities there. And we play, like, pickleball at Vickery and, like, there are so many great facilities and opportunities in the city of Pensacola. We picked up kickball last fall playing with the city. So, like, there are so many different things to do. So, kudos. I mean, I know you didn't invent any of that stuff necessarily, but you oversee all that operation, and, you know, it's great. The other thing, and just a kudos to you and, you know, Tanya Vaden does such a great job. But the other one was I would love to see if maybe, there could be just a little more positivity toward the city now on social media. I mean, I get politics. Politics is war by other means. I get it. But I saw so much ridiculous stuff. It felt like to me, if you breathed, breathing was evil. You know, like, you know, there was one of the metal fronds from the street cleaner was left in my street. Why doesn't DC Reeve have recyclable metal fronds? Why does DC Reeves hate, you know, like, any way you could possibly get attacked for the most obscene thing. This thing about the rainstorm on Sunday or Saturday, like, dude, what are you talking about? It did way better than it's ever done before, and you're complaining. Like, I would just love to see some balance and reasonability online. I just, personal opinion.
Yeah, it's part of it, and especially when you get into campaign season where, you know, ultimately, you know, there's especially from an incumbent, non-incumbent standpoint, you're going to get a lot of big promises, right, of vision and, you know, and but it doesn't really replace accomplishment in terms of, you know, having to be in it, good, bad, and things going well and things not going the way that you hoped. But, you know, that was my message to all of our supporters at our event last night was to say, hey, we can say that I can be a better mayor. There's no doubt about it. I think we can be better community members as a city. We can, our police can have the opportunity for improvement, our fire. Everybody, if we think we're perfect, then we're not very self-aware. That being said, that doesn't mean, and what I'm so appreciative of with the vote last night is that also doesn't mean that we have to tear down our city or say that everything that happens in our city is bad. Forget the mayor's office or city hall. I just mean what that vote tells me is that decisions aren't made on social media. They're made in living rooms, and they're made when you're FaceTiming your kid from college, hoping that you have opportunity to move home. And so we can still serve all 55,000 people. We can still make investments across our city in every corner of our city. We can still do all those things and not and know that we're not perfect and that we're always working hard to be as good as we can be without saying that this place stinks and everything's terrible. Because certainly that's with that vote last night is not what our citizens are saying. What they're saying is we're going in the right direction and let's just try to be a little bit better tomorrow than we were today.
You know, and we're going to talk about this in a second after we get a quick traffic break. But I have said this many times. And it's a hard thing for a lot of politicians to hear, whether at the city council or the county commission level. But just because a group of angry 25-year-olds or 30 or 60-year-olds shows up and there's, you know, 15 or 20 or 30 of them, that is not the 55,000 people in the city. That's not the 330,000 people in the county. That's a small group of motivated people. And you got to learn to listen to them that way. And I thought that that showed itself nowhere better than with the curfew vote last week. We'll talk about that in a second. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Thanks, Andrew. There is a vehicle crash, Davis Highway at East Olive Road in Pensacola. They're saying the roadway is open. Also have a vehicle crash, I-10 eastbound as you approach Highway 29. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Back to D.C. Reeves, Pensacola mayor. Mayor, I've said this several times. I just repeat for people who are just joining us. I am very concerned that some of our elected leaders, city council, falls in this category. County Commission also sometimes falls in this category. Just because a group of highly motivated, politically engaged people, often socialists recently, show up and scream about data centers or flock cameras or a curfew that they clearly do not understand and have not read, and then they cave on a vote. Like, the police chief is begging them, give me this tool to solve a problem, and they won't even vote on it. I was embarrassed. And I have not covered this yet. I'll cover it probably tomorrow in detail because I thought some of the things that got said were just like, what are you doing? But this, you got to remember, there is another 55,000 people out there who are not here tonight, right?
That's right. And, you know, I think the toughest thing at the local level, and I always remind our state and federal politicians, is I would say, listen, we go to town halls. So when a decision's made in Tallahassee or Washington, D.C., decisions are made and answered for at the local level. That being said, I absolutely agree with you. Frankly, and I think, you know, with some specific council members especially, decisions are made by a Facebook comment or a reaction to. And we've got to do more research than that, and we have to be more respectful, I think, of all 55,000 people than just what's the last thing I read on the internet before I came to this meeting. And the vast majority of our council does take all of that into consideration. But we try to do a really good job of saying, hey, you know, we hear these two or three or four people, because it's hard sometimes because you don't want to be dismissive of anybody who shows up. I love engaged people.
Right.
But the difference, you said it best just a second ago, there's a big difference between engaged people because you came to a meeting and engaged people who, like, read the ordinance or that, like, actually, like, read the article that they're commenting on. Things like that's what I mean by engaged. There's nothing better for community, whether they agree with me or disagree with me, than people that say, hey, man, I read the notes, and Mayor, I got an issue with this or I got a problem with that. There are many things that we address at the citizen level, at the city council level, that doesn't get hacked out in the meeting. It could be through email. Hey, great idea. Thank you. You know, for that. That a lot of listening happens in this constructive level before something gets to a vote. And frankly, that's really my disappointment with the curfew. And again, I know you'll cover tomorrow, is, you know, all of the council members that had concerns at the last minute did not express any of those concerns to us in the almost 2 weeks leading up to this. That our team worked really hard, and so we're always open for. Interpretation for how do we make this better. We should always be nimble and flexible like that, but you know, it's a little discouraging and frankly I think a little disrespectful to our police chief and to our city attorney's office that worked extremely hard, and the impression that this was knee-jerk or that this was sloppily put together is just not true, and so I would love to hear ahead of time if a council member has any type of issue. They don't have to read a Word document, you know, diatribe before they've even heard from the chief, which is obviously what Councilman Bear did during that vote. And so that's disappointing. But you know what? You know, we're going to certainly bring it back in September, and we're open to, again, we're open to any type of conversation about it. And so there's just a big difference, Andrew, between engagement because you came and said things that weren't facts at a meeting versus engagement through email, through town halls, through city council,
right.
where the goal is that we have a better Pensacola.
On the land development code rewrite approval, I just want to make sure I understand one thing. Trees became a big conversation point, and the way I understood this is in the process of rewriting the LDC, there was some, you know, reshuffling, reordering, reprioritizing, and a couple of key changes on the trees portion, but that the big questions about tree replacement and tree size and costs were really going to come from you and Councilman Moore at a future, that we're kind of creating the placeholder for those changes. We're not accomplishing everything in this LDC, right? There's a version two coming on the trees. But do I have that basically right?
Exactly.
Okay.
There was already stuff happening in the LDC that were improving some of that ordinance, modernizing some of that ordinance. So none of what Councilman Moore and I are bringing forward is conflicting that. It actually is just, it's really some further specifications as it pertains to the trees that we love most in this community, the heritage oaks, the southern live oaks, and making sure that those are really protected in the way that they need to be. And so we didn't want to stop the other process that had already started, but coming right behind it will be some of those additional modifications.
The Veterans Memorial Park restrooms, to me, is a great example of how government can try to do a thing and try to do it sort of right, and then it just kind of over time it can become such a big jumble, and why things projects ultimately
right.
fail. You guys have actually gotten something done, which of course was not good enough for some people, even though where would the money come from to actually solve this? And it's as if you guys didn't want to do more and you were not trying. You know, I don't know. I get frustrated because we are finally going to have restrooms at Veteran Memorial Park. Are they the ideal, the dream, the wish list? No. But will they be better than what we've got now? Yes, that's often the result of government.
Exactly. It's a prefab building. And if we had every, you know, architectural thing that we wanted in it, not only would it be over budget, it wouldn't be allowed per flood laws. I mean, we weren't going to put a bathroom on stilts like it's at Pensacola Beach. And so to do that, we had to do some very specific things. So you don't get to check all the boxes, unfortunately. But here's what I can say. We've never been more engaging and more collaborative with a non-city organization to make this happen. And I've said it's an emotional issue over 12 years. But all I can speak to is the last 3.5. And what we've done in the last 3.5 is get all the funding for it. And we just got an approval for the building. And you're going to actually have two bathrooms going in. There's some conversation, Andrew, I want to clarify too on, well, why didn't we get four bathrooms? The reality is, number one, there's only one park out of 95 I can think of that has two bathrooms in it, in the city, that doesn't have a community center, for example, at Sanders Beach is the only place I can think of that has two bathrooms. Secondly, when there's the major events like Veterans Day, Memorial Day, those awesome events that VMP puts on there, two or four bathrooms isn't enough.
Right.
So, you know, I don't know where that came from, that we should have four bathrooms. That doesn't solve your major event problem, that you're going to still have to bring in bathrooms from the outside. But, you know, so we certainly, I think our data shows us that two bathrooms is more than enough. And I'm just looking forward to getting this thing done. And I'm sure that the MPA is too, after talking about it for 12 years.
Yeah. And again, I think in the end, nobody's getting what we really wish we could have. But good Lord, the trouble of getting here, take anything,
right.
you know, you're
right.
not getting a BMW, but, you know, a Toyota's fine, you know, it's going to be fine.
That's right.
And you got some other things on. We don't really have time to get into it all, but you know, I thought last night you made a comment on Channel 3 that, you know, all these big projects that are kind of in process, you want to finish them up. The Burdon project, obviously it's a huge win. The airport project is a big deal. The Reverb project, you know, Baptist, you know, even getting a Superfund site as a possible location for the inland port,
right.
which I know will do a lot of things for us because, you know, people don't really realize that the port is used so much for non-port things. And if you had an inland version of the port, you could do a lot with that, including for, you know, GE Vernova. There's a lot of things in the process, and you know, as always, we're out of time to talk about it, but you know, big things, trying to work on getting them through to fruition. We always like to end with a bit of a lightning round, you know, quick questions for you. So first one for you is, if you can get rid of any one insect, wave your, you know, DC AC/DC Reeves magic wand, get rid of one insect, which one do you get rid of?
I mean, you know, this time of year, it's got to be mosquitoes.
I mean, I'm in the same boat with you.
Horsefly was tough. You know, back when I was back in my canoeing days, you know, I would say horsefly, but I'm going to go with mosquitoes. I that's got to be the number one, isn't it?
I would say. But, you know, people have disagreements. When you go to the ice cream shop, do you sample? And if so, how many samples is allowed before it becomes like theft?
I'm maximum one sample. I just can't do it. I kind of feel uncomfortable. It's like a Larry David moment, you know, if you're like the multiple samples, you know.
So is it because you feel like you're stealing or because you feel like it indicates that you don't know what you want?
You know, actually, honestly, it's the time pressure that I'm waiting on.
Okay.
You know, when somebody's behind me, you know, I was like, man, I got to get it, especially in this job, you know, someone will say, man, the mayor was taking up all the time, you know, up front. So one sample maximum for me.
I gotcha. Very good. I'm a 2 to 3, by the way, just, you know, if it helps.
I'm behind you in line then. Yeah.
Okay. And now I promise not to tell PPD when I talk to him tomorrow, but do you ever drive with your knees? Like you're holding something in your hands. Temporarily, yes, but you have to keep the wheel steady with the knee. Do you ever do that?
Only outside the city limits and/or Escambia County, or where anybody knows me, they can call me. So
that's a yes. Okay, fair enough.
Only is where I drive like that.
I gotcha. All right, DC Reeves, Mayor of Pensacola, just got reelected last night with a 53% win over a field of 6. Congratulations. Always good to talk to you. We'll talk to you again next week, sir.
Absolutely, Andrew. Thank you so much.
7:55, PJ, it's traffic on the fives.
There is a brand new vehicle crash and injuries, Brent Lane, right near Main Drive. There's also a roadblock associated with that. Use caution. Also have a vehicle crash, Davis Highway at East Burgess Road now. No roadblock. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Need to move across town, across country, or even across the globe? Trust Lambert Moving Systems. Veteran-owned, military-approved, and now celebrating over 100 years of moving excellence. As a quality award winner, BBB accredited, and agent for North American Van Lines, they handle local, long-distance, industrial, and international moves with packing, storage, and warehousing available. Serving Pensacola to Mobile and all surrounding areas and supporting the Gary Sinise Foundation. Choose the team with a legacy. Lambert Moving Systems. Go LambertTeam.com.
Tomorrow at 10, the Pensacola Expert Panel welcomes Opening Doors of Northwest Florida's Bruce Cady and Executive Director of Bright Bridge Ministries, Reverend Ashley Mosley Brown. Bright Bridge Ministries' mission is to promote the dignity and well-being of the homeless and under-resourced in our community. They've been serving individuals and families experiencing homelessness since 2007. Don't miss the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 with Opening Doors of Northwest Florida. Sponsored by Homeless Continuum of Care, Florida 511.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Banakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Banakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Banakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Banakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Banakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Banakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them this Friday at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You're not looking for an argument. You just want to know what's going on.
And that's a good thing.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Yes, I know you.
such a great capture of what an adult sounds like to a kid, and being just such a great thing. 7:59 News Radio 92.3. David Wayne's in the newsroom with a headline for us. David?
Well, Andrew, there's a new documentary out you might be interested in about Jimi Hendrix. It's called Jimi Hendrix Live at Woodstock, A Second Look. It debuted on YouTube the other day. It features some black and white footage recorded on videotape by a college student who snuck his camera on stage and set it up about 15 feet from where Hendrix was performing.
That's kind of cool. All right.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3 WNRP.